at 89.3 FM. This is member supported. WPFW, Washington.
It's about 6 p.m., and that means that you're listening to WPFW 89.5. I'm doing too many things at one time. Look, I'm adjusting my volume, Mark. Well, I don't know, but I'm adjusting my volume, Mark, here. I'm adjusting my volume. What are we, 89.3? Is it Friday? Is it 6 o'clock? My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with Mark Levine. And I can't hear Mark. Is Mark on?
Yeah, is my microphone on?
Yeah, I'm not hearing him. My mic's... Hey, well, if it's not on, then I guess I'll just have to do the show by myself. Oh, well, Mark. Darn, they caught me out unplugging
Someone
mic.
Has to correct you when you get our numbers
they
wrong.
They finally caught me unplugging Mark's mic, so I guess he's going to be on this week.
Put it back on.
But we got plenty to talk about. First and most importantly, I don't know if I've got tinnitus here humming in my ears or what have you. There we go. I'm having some technical difficulties, but I finally got it all straight. I got my sound right. I got Mark's mic on, and I think it's time to do the show. The show is on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW 89.3 FM.
That's it.
In Washington, D.C., your Pacifica affiliate. We talk about all kinds of interesting things. We got Mark. We definitely want to talk about something important at some point tonight. Mark went to, South Africa.
I did.
And we got to discuss that. Might have to do a show, whole show
it,
on that.
It was an incredible experience.
But first, something important here that struck me over the course of the week. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. This is why I want to talk about it. Ben Carson. So what we were discussing is what to call, and this is an interesting question. We were discussing what to call Ben Carson. And
I'd call him Uncle Ben.
Uncle, without the Ben. Okay, so the question was...
I think that's nice. It's like a mixture between Uncle Tom and Rice.
Right. Uncle Tom came out. But then we thought of the term Quisling. Have you ever heard of the term Quisling?
Sure, I have.
Vidkun Quisling. Yes. He was a Norwegian...
I think Finnish.
Norwegian. He was a politician, and when the Nazis took over Norway, he sided with the Nazis,
right.
And he had a Nazi puppet government, and then when he left, well, let's not talk about what happened to Vidkun Quisling, but it was not a happy time when the Nazis left for him, as you can imagine. And ever since, people have used the term Quisling, referring to a person who was a collaborator with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the term Quisling when I was talking about Ben Carson. Let me tell you why.
First of all, Garland, I think that 90% of your audience may not know who Ben Carson is.
I think 100% of my audience knows him. But
really?
Let's talk about who Dr. Ben
Carson is. Because I think of him as a very unimportant person.
Yeah, well, let's start with this.
But let's explain who he is for those who don't know.
Right.
I think conservatives know who he is.
Yeah.
I don't think liberals do, because I don't think he's a man of much importance.
I think they
personally.
Know his. I think they know his name. I don't know if anybody really knows Carson knows who he is.
Let's talk about who he is before we
bring Ben
take
Carson
him down
is a great story. He's a brain surgeon who suffered discrimination, and there was a whole movie made about him, and ended up being a legendary brain
there's
surgeon.
There's a movie about him.
Yeah, there's a movie about Dr.
I didn't
Dr.
know
Carson.
That.
Yeah, great movie.
All I know is he's a black Republican that white Republicans claim they want to run for president, but they don't mean it.
Right. Yeah, he was a brilliant brain surgeon who I think somehow...
And he also said Obamacare was the worst thing that happened to America since slavery.
Right. But let's start with who Dr. Ben Carson is.
All right, who is
he? So this man is in
a
his
doctor.
Own rights, a brilliant brain surgeon.
Okay.
Who I suspect somewhere down there somebody made a mistake and might have removed his brain. But he sure speaks like that at times. So, believe it or not, listen to this, the story. I don't know if you were there. During the healthcare debate, I put together I was the media consultant for a forum on Capitol Hill. They were working to get more support for healthcare, for Obamacare, right, for the ACA, and they're working, you know, and this was at the last few hours, and they're bringing people in, they put this thing together, and somebody had the idea to bring in Dr. Ben Carson, and I said, well, I don't think that's a good idea. Well, at that point, nobody knew him, but I knew he had right wing leanings, but I didn't know how far. Well, they actually, during this healthcare forum, they Skyped him in from somewhere. And he was kind of stumbling around trying to avoid saying he was against it. But in not so many ways, he said, well, you know, maybe there's something else we can do, or maybe there's another way to do it or something. But nobody checked to see who Dr. Ben Carson was.
Well, what is his past? What's his history? What makes him a conservative?
I don't know. There are conservatives. And then there are crazy people.
Right.
He's a crazy person.
Right.
Let's go there. But the other part of it is
There are conservatives who make rational arguments, mm-hmm. and then there are people who compare giving poor people health care to slavery.
Right.
Which is a really weird comparison.
Well, there's some other things that he said that are extreme.
He said some harmful things about abortion, I remember.
Very extreme. For instance, he said that he believed that that judges who ruled in favor of marriage equality, mm-hmm. that Congress has the constitutional authority and the right to remove them for that.
He advocated impeachment for.
No, he didn't say impeachment. Because that's the only way to remove a federal judge. No, he said the Congress could just vote to remove them.
Well,
and or replace him.
The Constitution says it requires impeachment and two-thirds Senate, and they have to perform high crimes and misdemeanors as well.
Here's the problem.
So apparently he thinks that equality for all is a high crime and misdemeanor, but I guess if you think that health care is slavery, then equality must be a misdemeanor.
I was about to say, Mark.
It kind of makes sense in some
perverse universe. You're thinking like a liberal again. You're thinking like a liberal.
I'm using logic, sorry.
Yeah, you're thinking with the wrong side of your brain. What you're thinking is that there is some logical support
for
what he said.
I'm searching for
that. When he said he thinks they should be removed, that he actually carefully considered the legal actions that would have to be taken in order to remove him. Here's what he really meant. I don't like them, and I think Congress should be able to get rid of people that I don't like and that do things that I don't want them to do.
So here's my question.
Right.
Why is this clown worthy of our time and attention? Very serious with you.
Good question. Because it brings to mind, to my mind anyway, an issue. And this is the issue from the very beginning. The issue of the term, the word Uncle Tom. The issue of the view of Quisling, of Uncle Tom, I got the numbers right here. I have the numbers for the two parties. Let's look at
there are black
Republicans,
conservatives that you could talk about,
listen
like Michael
this.
Steele or J.C. Webb,
the Republican
Webb,
Party,
that are not as extreme as
versus the Democratic
Carson.
Party. The Republican Party is white, non-Hispanic white, 89%. Black.
That's all?
2%. And
I'm surprised it's that high.
Hispanic,
are you sure it's not within the margin of error?
Yeah, give or take 2%,
yeah,
I would be willing to bet.
Yeah.
And Hispanic, 6%. Keep in mind, usually this is a Gallup poll, so usually the margin of error is plus or minus 4% with a Gallup poll.
I don't think it's even 2%.
Yeah, but we'll give them 2%.
Maybe 1%.
Yeah.
But, all right.
And then Democrats, it's 60% white, 22% black, 13%. So we're 13% Hispanic. So we're the Democratic Party is 35% black and Hispanic, and the
Republican Party
is
8%. 8%.
That
sounds about right.
Okay.
And if Latinos voted more, Democrats would do even better. Unfortunately, they don't vote enough.
Right. So when you
we're quickly becoming a non-white nation, but unfortunately, Latinos, which are the largest growing minority, aren't voting.
Right.
And that's hurting Democrats. Honestly.
But so hopefully things are happening to change that. But that's beside the point. Right now, we're talking about the Quisling, the Uncle Tom,
right,
person who right now, and see, this is why it's of particular note now. You know, the Republican Party has always been what it is. Or, excuse me, conservatives. At one time, they were Democrats.
That's true.
I don't care what the label of them is.
1960s, they switched sides.
I don't care what you label them.
Conservative, Southern,
but today,
white party.
We have, in this day and age, a party that is acting to, even right now in the Supreme Court, turn back the civil rights laws.
Sure.
That are acting to prevent black people from voting.
Absolutely.
Today, that have passed laws in the last
If you saw the Loretta Lynch nomination,
yeah.
the thing that the new North Carolina senator, I forgot his name, Republican, really wanted to insist on is how do we keep people from voting?
Right.
And she very adeptly said, well, I haven't read your law, instead of telling him, I'm sure, the obscenity she wanted to say.
You're right, yeah.
That probably wouldn't have helped her nomination.
Right. And so when I see the black, hopefully, which I would doubt it, but it's possible, there's a black conservative out there that'll call in when I give out the number. But when I see the black person who is a conservative, the first word that pops into my mind is Uncle Tom. But I question myself.
Well, but here's the thing.
Cause let me just say this. Yeah. I want to give people the right to believe whatever they believe.
Right.
And I want to respect people's right in America to side with whatever party or ideology they believe in.
Right.
However, by the same token, you know, if Ben Carson's not Uncle Tom, then I don't know what is.
Well, that's why I think.
I mean, I'm running out of definition for Uncle Tom if it don't fit
Ben
Carson.
I'd rather you talk about someone like Michael Steele or J.C. Webb of Oklahoma.
J.C. Watts?
Watts, excuse me. J.C. Watts of Oklahoma. He's not in Congress anymore. These were elected African American Republicans in the modern age. And so I think they, whatever you think about, I mean, I don't think you would use Uncle Tom for those two people. You may not like them. Maybe you would. I don't know. I mean,
Mark, you will take note of the crickets chirping on my side over here when you say call them Uncle Tom.
Is any black Republican an Uncle Tom? Is any black conservative?
You hear crickets chirping over here?
No, I'm just asking because
Ben Witherspoon's over here laughing at me.
It's easy to pick on Ben Carson because he said some really wacko stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is it impossible for an African American to be a conservative?
Well, it's like this. I mean, when you ask me, would I call any of it? It's like this. Let's say I turn on a Wizards game, right? And I see a guy in an NBA uniform and he's dribbling a basketball. I got to call him an NBA player. That's what he is, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. When I see a black guy in the Republican Party, okay. It's the same difference
to
me.
What is the definition of Uncle Tom then? A traitor to the race, right? That would be the fair.
No. And I tell you why.
I'm Uncle Tom.
I tell you why.
Kevin,
yeah,
that's
a good question. I tell you why. Because it's not about race. It's about ideology. It's about policy. See, when I look at the Republican Party, where is the Republican Party's base? Right now,
let me just say this.
Right now, if you look at the red states, mm-hmm. which is the foundation, which is the ideological and social foundation of the Republican Party,
today,
and you take out a map of the Civil War and you look at the gray states and you overlay them, you're looking at the same state.
Sure.
You're looking at the same state.
So although there's some Western states that have joined in.
Yeah, but it's not even about. To me, it's not about race. It is about ideology.
Yeah,
now,
Uncle
with a
Tom
black
is
person,
a racial yeah, term.
But with a black person, it's a little bit different because if you are black, you are already that's the hand you've already dealt. To me, a white guy, I'll give him an excuse. A black person, I'm not going to give him any. I can't give him an out for that. It's like, you're black, you should know better.
Well, you know, listen, I feel the same way about gay Republicans. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're gay. You should know better. You shouldn't be a Republican. Republicans are opposed to all of your rights. How can you possibly be a Republican? Frankly, I don't even understand Jewish Republicans unless they're very rich. Jews have been persecuted, have a whole history of oppression, and frankly should look out for the little guy. But then again, I can go further and say I don't understand Christian Republicans. Because if there's anyone that looked out for the little guy, it was Jesus. Right? The founder of Christianity was all about caring for the poor.
Let me say this, Mark.
I don't know if we're going to go that far. If you believe that you should love your neighbor as yourself, how can you be a Republican?
Now, keep in mind something, Mark.
We can go a lot further.
When you go
than
to religion, keep in mind something, though. In America, there have always been two versions of religion. There's always been the conservative version. Remember, in the Old South, what they have, the slave masters were in church. There's the Southern evangelical is the foundation of the church. Yeah. So
but
they have a totally different view. In fact, The Civil War, an argument could be made that that was a kind of a religious war. You ever read the Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Sure.
Both sides were doing God's work. From one perspective, and if you read some of the poetry and some of the other things from the Old South, some of the literature from the Old South, what they said basically was that God created a divine order, a hierarchy, and it was their job to continue that hierarchy, and that the South was doing the evil. So it
part of the justification for slavery was that God put black people in Africa and white people in Europe, and they
hierarchy.
Shouldn't mix and all it. This stuff. So people have been using religion.
Paul's, you know,
it's not just Islamic fundamentalist terror.
Well, we got to take
religion.
We've got to take a break. 6:15. When I come back at 6:20, I'll give the number out. Bill Witherspoon's over there making it happen. We will be back in a minute. WPFW 89.3 FM. Literally a minute.
The D.C. area's annual Midwinter Jazz Classic, the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival, is just around the corner, the weekend of February 13th to the 16th. Join media sponsor WPFW for NEA Jazz Masters Kenny Barron and Ellis Marcellus, the masterful vocal artistry of Carmen Lundy, Alan Harris, Tierney Sutton, and D.C.'s favorites Sharon Clark and Janine Gilbert Carter, plus three of today's saxophone titans doing royal battle in our saxophone summit. Featured also will be DC's finest artists, free student performances, and meet the artist opportunities, and much, much more. That's the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival, the annual jazz family reunion, February 13th to the 16th, at beautiful Hilton Hotel in Rockville, Maryland, conveniently located on Rockville Pike, right on the Red Line Twin Brook Metro. Visit www.midatlanticjazzfestival.org for complete details, or call area code 888-909-6330.
You listen to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C., Garland Nixon, and I'm here with Mark Levine, and we're having a fun time, and we're talking about Ben Carson and all kinds of stuff, the issue of the Uncle Tom, the issue of the Black Republican, and Mark has exposed me by asking me whether or not I thought that all black Republicans are Uncle Toms,
and you basically said yes.
No, I didn't say anything, Mark. I didn't say anything.
Your eyes said yes, and your mouth said no comment.
Yeah, I abstained. That's what I did. How's that?
Here's my problem. All right, when you call somebody an Uncle Tom, when you call somebody a name of any kind, Quisling and Uncle Tom, these are some pretty strong names.
Yeah,
I think that people, instead of looking at Ben Carson and the ridiculous, horrific things he said, are going to look at you and say, "Ah, well, you know, you're calling him names. You're not being fair." And it's not about the name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, I don't take this man seriously. I've never taken him seriously because he says things that are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, I don't like a lot of things that Mitch McConnell and John Boehner say.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've said is nothing compared to what Ben Carson has said. I mean, he's the one who compared the Affordable Care Act to slavery. Once you say that, to me, you're just like not...
You know what, Mark?
Not worthy of being in the realm of discussion.
You're missing, and I think there's something that's easy to miss here, and I'll tell you what that is. See, the history of the black community in America, you know, looking way back, you know, you go back to slavery, and black people know about the history of slavery, and that was, there was always the guy in slavery, the black person who kind of did whatever the master wanted and delivered up all the other black people so he could get his butter biscuit with molasses or whatever it was that he got. You know, that's the proverbial butter biscuit with molasses, you know, kind of thing. Give up four black folks for that. Or the movie Django Unchained, there's Steven. Give up all the black folks so that you can get yours. And so black people, remember, there was a time when the quote, Uncle Tom, Quisling, whatever, actually delivered some pain
so
to
what,
people in the black community.
Ben
so let me
Carson
say that.
Actually doing,
so,
other
so,
than running his mouth. Seriously, what harm... I don't. He's not. He's not in power.
Right.
He has no political.
Well, he's
office.
Doing two things. Number
he
one,
he may run for president, which I think is.
Here's
laughable.
What's bad. Here's what I think is seen as bad, and that is this. You know, there are people who from the right, you know, they constantly attack the president. You know, he stood up, and if he then he should have sat down, and if he sat down, then he should have stood up, kind of
right,
thing. Okay.
Right.
And people point the finger and say, you know, you're racist. That's awful. It's racist because everything the man can't be can't be wrong. Okay,
like,
and
I'm not racist. Okay. I have a black friend. It's Dr. Ben.
There, excuse me. right now, if you Google the name Garland Nixon and Ben Carson, a video will come up when I was on Fox News that actually where I said he's the Tea Party's black friend. Right now, but yeah, that's it. He. To some extent, they use him to give, they use people like a Ben Carson to get some legitimacy, to argue that they're not a racist, and as a proxy, so that he can make attacks maybe that they couldn't, where the white guy couldn't say it's worse than
Michael Steele, head of the Republican Party, for a few months?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was, you know.
I mean, it was the same idea.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to keep blacks from voting and at the same time get more blacks to vote.
Yeah, for 160 years, they never had a black person in charge of the Republican Party, and then 2 weeks after Barack Obama took office, pure coincidence. Yeah.
And let's face it, Michael Steele reached a very high level, lieutenant governor of Maryland for one term until he was voted out. So clearly there was no higher ranking Republicans. There were no senators. There were no members of Congress. There were no governors. There were no former presidents. They had to take the lieutenant governor of Maryland who ran one term and lost.
And the only thing they usually get
and had nothing to do with his race.
And the only thing they get is crazy people. They get crazy people. Look at Alan West. Look at people, excuse me, who in my interpretation are crazy people.
Right.
Ben Carson, Alan West. What's this new girl's name? Nikki, whatever, the girl from Utah.
Love.
She's out of her mind. The people who say crazy stuff. But I guess, really,
but
if you're a black Republican, you gotta say crazy stuff.
Garland, there are plenty of white Republicans that say crazy stuff.
Yeah, but they don't aggravate me as bad.
I know. Now, why is that?
They're like, because I expect them to be, yeah, you know, that's a given. I expect them to be. Sure, there's gonna be more.
You
crazy.
Hold black Republicans to a higher standard than you do white Republicans.
That's it. Because you're black, you ought to know. You know what I mean? You should know better.
What if you're rich and black?
I don't care. You're still black.
What if you've made it and you've closed the door and you don't want to help anybody up the ladder?
Isn't that what a conservative is? I tell you
someone who's made it, closes the door, and doesn't want to help anybody up?
I tell you what, if you're rich and black, drive down the road in your black Mercedes and see what happens when the cops pull you over. They're not going to say you're rich and black. You're black.
Well, they might have tried to cockroach your lawyer.
You're not rich and black. You're black. And whether or not you're rich, well, you're not. It's probably a stolen car or something like that, or you're a drug dealer from their perspective. You see, the thing about it is this. If you're a black person in America, it doesn't matter what the socioeconomic level you are when you get pulled over by the cops or how you're viewed in America. You can be rich, but you're a rich black person. But you're a black person first.
I think if you're rich and famous, the cop may, you know, if you're a singer or something, you know, football player.
Really, well, I'll put it like this. Ask Barack Obama's buddy, Skip Gates, how that worked out. was black.
They did.
He was in a white neighborhood.
The cops didn't know Harvard professors.
Precisely. But
Beyonce got pulled over. I'm sure she could get out of this.
She's a woman.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, she's a woman. It's a different. Okay, so anyway, 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. The Republican, the black Republican, the Uncle Tom. And look, if you're a black Republican and you're calling in, I hope you do. I apologize for inferring what I inferred.
You don't
apologize.
I'm not
taking it back.
You're not sorry. You can't apologize unless you're sorry, girl.
No, hear me out. I'm not taking it back.
Well, then you're not apologizing.
I'm apologizing. I'm sorry if you're offended by my feelings.
I don't think so. I think you mean to offend.
202-588-0893.
You have a right to offend. That's free speech.
Let's start with Tom on line one.
You mean to offend, Garland. I think you mean to offend.
Tom on line one, no. Let's see.
Who do we got?
Offset, thank you for calling.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic.
Good. What are your thoughts?
Well, before I make any statements, I want to say that ideologically, politically, I'm progressive. and the conversation is kind of like, you know, you put paint, do it on the canvas, and
it's a little hard to hear you. Can you speak directly on the phone? We all want to hear what you have to say.
Okay,
go ahead.
So you heard what I said before. Ideologically, politically, I'm progressive.
Right.
And the conversation is kind of all over the place, like you've taken paint and thrown it on a canvas to see, you know, what image you're going to get in the end. And so two things. One, you know, anytime we get into being divisive, we diminish because you know, you united we stand, divided we fall. And that doesn't mean that everyone's going to agree with your ideology. People
okay.
may be
so
attempting to
diminishes.
People may be hold on. People may be attempting to undermine what you're doing, but coming out of the season of looking at Dr. Martin Luther King and radical love, you know, sometimes you can make things happen, you can woo people, but it's not going to come by using inflammatory language.
Let me ask you to wrap it up, because we got a lot of callers.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up. Okay, so, but all that being said, it's the there's a problem, two problems. One is you can't just come and because someone has kooky, quote-unquote, kooky ideas. I mean, I know what he said, but no one is doing the same thing with Denzel Washington or any of the
All right. Well, I hate to cut you off. Thank you very much. I hate to cut you off, but I kind of did want you to wrap it up because we got to, you know, I mean, I don't want to be unfair.
And it was a little hard to hear, but her point is that this divisiveness, this is inflammatory, and that, I mean, I would rather attack the man for his kooky, crazy ideas than call him names.
I'm not attacking him.
Oh, of course you
are. I'm giving him my perspective. He's Uncle Tom.
Look, you're calling him an Uncle Tom. That's an attack.
In a general sense. I'm saying that anybody in his category is an Uncle Tom.
But that's an attack.
But you know what? Here's the thing about it.
I'd rather attack his ideas.
I bet you there's a lot of people that feel like that. And those who don't, they can call me in and tell me. They can call and say, Garland, you're out of line. Who knows? By the end of the show, I might listen to our brilliant callers and say, you know, Mark.
And please don't get me wrong.
I've had a change of ideas.
I am not defending this man. Yeah. I'm just saying I think the best way to fight conservatives is through ideas.
So
not
look, my callers such as Allset may change my mind. At the end, I might say, oh, I was all wrong. I shouldn't have called the man Uncle Tom. I should have just called him a Quisling. Who's next? Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Kim, make sure your radio's turned down because it's going to really mess us
down.
Up. Okay.
I'm turning it down.
Okay. Great.
I'm loving this show, and I would love for you all to do a future show on exactly what the Uncle Tom syndrome is, because since you're using it so much, I think we have a lot of confusion about what it really means. And I think what I've read is that it's people who are behaving a certain way to get some kind of support, but they really are not expressing what they believe. But he is expressing what he believes.
Well, let me ask you this.
Well, that's the question, is he?
Let me ask you this. So what is your if somebody said to you, what is your definition of an Uncle Tom, what would it be?
Somebody who's passive and goes along to get along, but might be hiding their true feelings just for survival. I mean, if you look back to Uncle Tom's cabin,
that's what Harry Beecher Stowe wrote about.
Well, I think this. But
then remember, he didn't give up the slaves. He was beat to death because he didn't stay betray them. So I would love for you guys to do a show on that because I think we throw that term around and it probably means different things to different people.
Thank you.
Very good point, Ken.
Well, see, there's the thing about it. Here's the two things. There was the original movie with Uncle Tom's.
The original book,
with Uncle. Yeah, they didn't have movies back in the 1800s, did they, Mark?
No. Okay. It was actually probably more than any other single book the abolitionist cause.
That was it. That changed a lot. And did you know that a whole bunch of conservatives wrote books to kind of fight against it? There was one called The Planter's Northern Bride, which launched what could be considered one of the earliest really legitimate attacks on capitalism, where basically they said, you think we're bad? Look what you guys are doing to these workers up at the mills up north.
That's not a very persuasive argument.
Yeah, it really didn't. Yeah.
Slavery isn't so bad. These other people are mistreated.
Was all they had. What else were they going to come up with? Think about that. You know, they're whipping and raping people. There wasn't a lot left. Right. But my point.
So let me ask you Kim's question. What is your definition of Uncle Tom?
Why'd you have to ask me that? I might not know, Mark.
It's a feeling.
Uncle Tomery is a feeling.
Because I like to ask you the tough questions and put you on the spot, Carl.
Yeah,
answer the question. What is your definition of Uncle Tom?
My definition of Uncle Tom is you don't have to be black. Because like you said, gay Republicans, they're Uncle Toms to me.
Right.
It's a person who you are working for you are working in legion with people who are opposing the cause that you are, not just that you believe in,
right.
But that you're
working with people who are an enemy to your people.
Yeah, whatever your people may be.
Right.
That's it. And okay. So that's why I think Quisling was, and
Traitor would be another name.
That's it. And Quisling, it was an occupy, you know, there was the occupying force and all that. And in a way, to me, that's kind of appropriate. I'll tell you why. Because the South has always been, the conservatives in the South have always been somewhat of an occupying force for the black people.
Okay.
Because they have stopped them from voting. Now, they have stopped them from having
Ben Carson is a conservative and a ridiculous one. How specifically is he anti-black? Is he anti-African-American as opposed to being anti-poor people, anti-women's rights with abortion, and so anti-gay people? How's he anti-black?
Well, we got to take a break. Bill Weatherspoon is over there.
Fine,
he's in charge here.
You have a minute to think about it and answer that question.
So 202-588-0893. And Mark and I'll stop running our mouths so much. We got Mike next. Who do we have?
We got
Nick and William and Mary.
We'll get to you
We're going to get to you when we get back, and we'll let you talk about it. Bill, we'll be back.
Program contains general information of
There are many ways to support WPFW. One easy way is by volunteering. To find out how you can help with our winter membership drive, contact Vinnie Jack at 202-588-0999, extension 360, or via email at volunteers, that's with an S, volunteers at WPFW.org. Weekend and weekday evening shifts are available. Students seeking community hours are also welcome. Support the station and the programming that you love by becoming a phone volunteer today. 89.3 FM, WPFW is your station for jazz and justice. Bill Witherspoon's making it happen over there on the boards and the phones. Mark Levine's over there.
Grilling Garland Nixon with some tough questions.
Grilling, asking the tough questions today.
I am.
And I'm here speaking
now, so here's my question.
All manner of Uncle
We're
going
to get to all the callers, but here's my question. So Ben Carson has said some ridiculous, awful stuff against poor people, mm-hmm. against women.
Mm-hmm.
Is comparing the Affordable Care Act to slavery, is that the anti-black part?
Well, here's the thing. Now, think about this. Black people, let's go socioeconomic. Black people fall into the poor. Overwhelmingly, the numbers say the poor, the working poor, and the working class. A lot of black folks in the work, that's where they are. Working class,
a greater
working
percentage,
poor,
to be
poor.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
That's probably 75%. Okay. Large number now in the working class itself. The things that he's discussing are things that hurt those classes. Who were the people that were most helped by the Affordable Care Act? The working poor,
no question,
the working class, and the poor.
Right.
So from the perspective of policy,
right,
he is involved in Uncle Tomery.
So here's the next,
from
the next
perspective
question,
of policy,
Ron,
because he's talking policy that's going to hurt black
folks. What responsibility does Ben Carson have to look out for black people at all? Do all black people have a responsibility to look out for black people?
He don't
have
to look out for black folks.
He just
don't stick a knife in their back. You know what I mean? Just get out of the way. How's that?
All right.
Okay? Don't push me into the fire. You don't have to keep me from falling into the fire, but don't push me over the edge.
Okay.
Okay, we got to get to the Mike. Mike, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? I've been listening to you for a long time. Check it out.
Can you get your mouth closer to the phone? I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you, Mike.
Don't be on any speakerphone. Never call on a speakerphone.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not on a speakerphone.
Okay.
Okay. Put your mouth real close
into
to the
phone because we want to hear what you have to say.
Can you hear me better?
It's still a little
unclear. Let's give
it
a shot.
Okay. What I wanted to say is that to Mark. Here's the thing. Let's go back. The only problem I have with you is a lot of stuff that you're saying is the typical liberal stuff. a lot of black people know who drink, and I totally disagree with him.
I'm having a hard time understanding, and you're criticizing me, and I want to hear what you have to say, but I honestly can't understand.
If you could possibly, Bill, unfortunately, we're going to have to go to the next one, but if you could possibly call
back on another phone somehow.
If you could call back on another phone, certainly. Who's next?
Michael.
Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, first, I just like to say I really like you guys' show. I mean, and the issues that you bring forth, I really like the way you
Thank you, Michael.
I don't see him as an Uncle Tom, but what was disturbing, he made a very disturbing statement, and he didn't present his argument, and that's what I would like to hear him present his argument before I make any judgment about that. But
well, he may run for president. You'll hear a lot from him if he does.
Yeah, I think that. That he made that, I think he has a personal agenda because, I mean, he wants to try to get people riled up. He made a very controversial statement, and I don't even, and the Republicans know that he made a very, very controversial statement, too. And believe me, I think they have some concerns about what he said, too.
I think he's a token, like for the Republicans. I think he's a way to get somebody to say the controversial stuff that no one takes seriously, and that way no one blames Boehner or McConnell or anyone running for president. I mean, if Jeb Bush said the Affordable Care Act was like slavery, people would say that's a racist.
Oh, yeah, right.
But when Ben Carson says Roll Carrots like slavery, it's like, well, you know, some black guy thinks
that. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, it's he serves a purpose for them.
Yeah. Yes.
But I still don't think that we should take him seriously at all. And so because he's a man who's never held elective office. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of crazy people saying crazy things. I don't think.
And I'm not talking about taking him serious. I'm talking about from the perspective of a black person who is saying things from a social, political, and policy perspective.
He may run for president, then we'll have to take him seriously.
For black people. And the other thing the gentleman that just got off said was, you know, he's waiting to hear basically his supporting data. Bad news for you if you've been paying attention to conservatives lately. let me introduce you to a term that is often referred to that is referenced when people talking about the pre-Enlightenment period. Article of faith. People believe things as an article of faith. For instance, taxes are bad. If you lower taxes, the economy will improve. Well, the fact of the matter is that empirical data shows that is not necessarily so, but Republicans believe that, conservatives believe that as an article of faith. Has to be true. But we got to get Mary. Mary's been waiting.
Hi, Mary.
So the article of faith. There is no supporting evidence for articles of faith. People believe them because they believe them, and they got to be true because they believe them. Mary.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Hey, Mary.
Hey, what's up? I will tell you what the definition of an Uncle Tom is.
Okay.
Let me start with my list. Ben Carson, Alan West,
okay.
Alan Key,
uh-huh.
Armstrong Williams,
uh-huh.
Marco Rubio,
uh-huh.
Bobby Gentry.
Gentle.
They're all traitors to their race. They rail against their own selves for the great good of the oligarchies. That's an Uncle Tom. And I want to say that the cabin is getting real full. I'm starting on a new one now because it's getting full.
You got to put an extension on the cabin.
There are many, many.
In a new word, you know, then they're bourgeois Negroes too, okay?
What's a bourgeois Negro and how is that different from an Uncle Tom?
Well, a bourgeois Negro, they're rich and famous and they forgot where they came from.
They forgot where they came from.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about.
Alan Keyes is not rich and famous yet and he's still kind of forgotten where he came from.
He's kind of famous. Yeah. I don't know how rich he is.
Infamous is the term.
One more little tidbit.
Yeah.
Rick Santorum's not going to run for office. You know why?
Why?
He's getting a divorce.
No.
He's getting a divorce. I don't know why the media is not putting this out.
Get out of here. Mr. Family Values?
I thought pledge for life.
Wearing that sweater and seven kids, he's getting a divorce. And you know why?
Why?
He blamed it on gay marriage.
No doubt.
There you go. If gay people can get marriage, he doesn't want it anymore.
That's right.
He doesn't love his wife enough.
That's it.
Maybe he'll marry a man.
Yep. No, that's what's happening, because gay marriage, he's actually being forced to marry a man because
that's
of
right.
gay marriage.
Apparently.
He's
going
to go marry
apparently.
A man and say he was forced to because
I guess
of gay
so.
Marriage.
I guess
all
so.
I can say is two Republicans gone. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Mary, for
really,
your call.
No, I really enjoyed having Rick Santorum around, talking about things like sex with turtles. That's the one
yeah,
that always freaked me
he
out.
He was special.
That's
he
the
was,
one that said...
He was a little bit special, as we said.
You know, that's always one that said to me, I really don't think I would want to see his browser history. You know, I really don't want to think I'd want to walk into the computer
well, you
after
know what happens if you go- you know what,
been on a,
you know what happens if you Google
yes,
Santorum?
I do know exactly what it is.
I can't even say it on the air.
Yes.
But if you Google it, I'll just stop right there.
William.
Hello, William.
William, you're on the air. Thank you for calling
hey,
WPFW.
How you doing? How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Very, very good.
We're
Welcome
talking
the
about
show.
The subject of the proverbial Uncle Tom. What are your thoughts on it?
Okay, I have a couple things I want to say real quick. You made a point when you first started the conversation about the Civil Rights Act
mm-hmm.
and how Congress is now trying to find a way to get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to understand, ever since slavery was abolished, physical slavery was abolished in this country.
William?
Are we losing you, William?
All I heard was ever since
William?
Physical slavery was abolished, and when we lost,
call
him.
Back, William. You still got some,
you're
a
in
little
mid-sentence.
Bit of time. Yeah, somebody grabbed him. I think and car tried to run off with William. William, if you're okay, we'll give
we
you the rest of your time.
We hope you're okay, William. All right,
who do we
next
have next?
Guy, or a woman?
Miguel,
welcome to WPFW.
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
I have to figure out how to get a tape because I don't get it all the time.
Just go to WPFW.org and click on Archived Shows. The name of the show is News Views.
If you want really old shows, Mark Levine Talk, my website.com. I've got every show God and I've ever done.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's
fantastic. So this is my thought. WPFW and Progressive Station. We should stop using Uncle Tom because it is a fictional character and there's a lot of arguments that we could take why he did what. He's protecting the younger bucks, whatever, and the story, he was killed. The better character, which is called Haywood Shepherd, just everybody Google that. He was the good slave that told everybody that John Brown was coming.
here's the thing about it. And this
who's that?
What'd you say the name was? Abel Shepherd?
Haywood Shepherd.
Haywood Shepherd. Well, let me
Shepherd.
Say something.
Go ahead. The only black men that got a monument of the daughters of Confederacy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Confederates gave him a
monument. Yes.
A monument?
Harper's Ferry, yes.
Really?
He's the one that told that said, Massa, there's an uprise. and
yeah, I'm sure John Brown didn't appreciate that very much.
Okay. All right, that's one. Two, because that's a real-life example. Two, I had the boys, the surgeon's book. I ripped it out of my son's room and threw it downstairs. But the problem is, this is the problem at the end of the day. We get caught up in this idea that black guy's bringing down the race. He's from that generation that he thought he had what they used to call in South Africa, honorary whiteness. So what he's defending is the ability, and he suffered all of the things that what people are trying to stop. He is spitting in that face. I'm a conservative, but I'm a progressive. I historically knew what the Republican Party was. Anything that was progressive back in the 30s and the 40s, it wasn't the Republican Party because it's Dixiecrats.
Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive Republican, but there aren't too many of those around anymore.
No, but look, I'm not delusional about who Barack Obama is. He's a classic Republican from 1960s and 70s. But the point wasn't that there's no space for those, and don't call it moderate. There's no space for people to say, you know, racism is wrong. So my point is that there are sellouts we see every day, people that don't like. There's a deeper question here. People that don't like themselves.
And I have to ask you to wrap up. I got to ask you to wrap up because we've got a couple other callers.
No. All I'm saying is that there are sellouts because they don't remember. They lifted the ladder up after they left.
Thank you very much. And who's next?
Sister Garland, Clarence Thomas. Uncle Tom?
Oh my gosh!
just check.
No, because you know what? That term, it just doesn't go far enough with Clarence Thomas.
All right, you want something worse?
Yeah, it doesn't get that. Right. You know, I mean, you'd have to stack 5 Uncle Toms on top of each other.
Maybe this Haywood
to the Uncle Tom Shepherd. Yeah,
is the appropriate. Yeah, all right, let's go. To the next call.
No, Haywood Shepherd is Martin Luther King. Besides Uncle Tom,
besides Clarence Thomas.
All right. Freudian slip here. Who's next? Jay.
Hey Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Wonderful.
If I'm not mistaken, right, wasn't Uncle Tom the story about Uncle Tom? Wasn't he a smart dude who taught a white dude how to read and everything, right?
Well, I'm not. No. But see,
have you read Uncle Tom's Cabin?
No. But let me say one thing about this, and I'll give you your time back, and where I think people get mistaken. What the term Uncle Tom originally meant in the book is not really relevant to what it means today. And I'll tell you why. Because we come up with words, and somebody may give you a word and say, this word, this person is such and such. And in 1974, that may be really the coolest thing you can be. In 2004, it may be the worst thing.
Which is why you should stop using the word groovy. Girl.
Yeah,
I told
groovy
you.
And square. Mark, you're such a square. But so that's why I say that when we get into what was the meaning of the term Uncle Tom back in the 1800s, when the book, 1850s or whatever, when the book was written, as opposed to what it has evolved to be in today's age. And that's what I'm talking about. What it means in today's society, as opposed to what it was originally intended to mean.
Let's let Jay finish.
Jay,
the point.
Go ahead.
Okay, now me personally, I'm conservative on something. I'm not conservative on something. Right? Now this dude, you know, what's his name, Mr. Carter?
Carson.
Yeah, Carson. He has said some crazy stuff that other black people just look at him like, what he said? You know?
I hear you. I actually think that we give him too much credit by doing a whole show about him. I mean, I'd rather do a show in general about black Republicans than this guy who I think is very unimportant.
But the show's not about him.
All right.
To me, it's about the issue.
But the show's not about him, but it's about some of the far, far crazy, obvious stuff that some of these politicians.
Yeah. I mean, Alan West is just as bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I said, to me, you know, a person who's a gay Republican.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
You've got people, the log cabin or whatever, and I turn on and I see the gay Republican, and I think to myself,
but you know what?
These
most of them don't stay Republican for long. No. Most of them either commit suicide or come to the realization that they don't want to be Republican anymore.
Yeah. Because they go there, you know, they go to like these Republican events and they won't let them in.
That's right.
They won't let them in the door.
Right. That's true.
That's
someone who doesn't like.
Yeah, you know, I was an investigator at one time, and that there was a term we used for that. That was a clue.
Yeah, well,
when somebody won't let you in the door, it's a clue that maybe you might not want to be in that door inside of that door anyway. I mean,
we had a guy in Virginia. I guess I won't name him, but was ostensibly a black, gay, Jewish Republican.
That makes me think of the old Archie Bunker thing with.
But anyway.
Yeah, boy, man, that's a good. That's
hard,
what are you going to call him?
There's no more. There's nothing left.
Yeah, yeah. He hit the trifecta, didn't he? Who's up next? Tesfa.
Hi, Tesfa.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, my friend.
You see why some individuals do not support something right? Something just something badly needed is they want to be with the ruling elite. They don't want to be with the poor, with the needy, with the masses. They feel they are degrading themselves if they support something that is good for the majority. They want to be part of the ruling elite. They want to be different. They don't want to be with the masses. That's why some individuals in my own country support brutal dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you
it
go.
Is the same here. The same here. They don't want the working poor. They don't want the elderly people who need some kind of help. They don't want young people.
We got to get some other callers.
But thanks a lot, Tesla.
But thank you for your call.
But you know, he makes a good point. Mm-hmm. He makes a good point, and that is, there are people who see the caste system and they say to themselves,
no, everyone wants to be in the Brahmin class.
I feel
no
like
wants to
I'm
be
in
untouchable.
This. Yeah, right. So they see themselves in a particular class and they say, I want to be a member of the ruling elite.
Sure.
And if I act like members of the ruling elite, I remember Herman Cain.
It's good to be king.
Yes. I remember Herman Cain, and I made a mistake earlier where I said that. I was. If you Google my name with Ben Carson, that I said he was a Tea Party friend. It was Herman Cain. But I remember Herman Cain saying the Koch brothers are his brothers from another mother, and I'm thinking they don't see you as their brothers from another.
I wonder how much money the Koch brothers paid him to say that.
Yeah, nobody in the Republican Party sees him as their brother from another mother. Yeah, they see him as a brother.
Let's get some other callers. Cliff.
Cliff, welcome to WPFW.
This is Cliff.
Hey, Cliff.
I think it's not helpful to talk about people having ridiculous ideas or crazy or everything like that. We need to have serious analysis of why so many people vote for the Republican Party. And I think at its core, it's white males who've never gotten over the fact that they lost control over minorities and that they lost control over women. And with a wink and a nod, the Republican Party is always promising to take us back to the 1950s. And I think this is the core of it. This is why white males have not voted for a Democratic president since 1964. We're talking over half a century. And we need to look into the real reasons why people vote Republican. And I really think
that's a solid point. And you're definitely right about white males, although, of course, white males alone are not enough to elect Republicans. There's got to be some white women and even occasionally non-white people, though not that many. But no, you're right. The heart of the party is, and I would argue, Southern white males, to
there's
be
no
even
question.
More specific.
That's a much smaller percentage of the national electorate.
Well, it is, but that's the core of the Republican Party. It's the old
and the core of the ideology, I think, is a couple things. But you can't leave this out. But excuse me, I guess they're inextricable, and that is. One of the cores of conservatism is a resistance to change. And it's kind of paradoxical because basically we don't want things to change. We want things to go back to, but like they were in the, you know, in the proverbial good old days.
Which is why we got to do a whole show about South Africa because this is the same thing I see among a lot of white people in South Africa.
But what's really paradoxical about that is this, that conservatives believe that they have to make radical changes today in order to get back to where we were before. Now,
but you do.
That's a paradox.
It does require radical change.
You're fighting against change because you don't want change.
You know how hard it is to take away women's right to
but
vote?
You have to make
keep
radical
blacks
changes.
From voting again? To bring back slavery? And bring back the horse and buggy? You know, if we're going to bring back the founders, we got to all wear wigs again.
But they don't see the paradox. They don't see that
it's called reactionary.
They want to go
back. That's what the word means.
They want to
radically trying to go back to the, and you know what, they're going back to a past that never existed.
But my point is this: they don't, and most people don't think about this. But that is the paradox. They want to fight against change and take us back to where we were, whenever that was.
They want,
but in order to do that, there has to be significant radical legislative changes to fight against change and take us backwards. It just doesn't make sense. But I guess if that's why I'm not a conservative, right, Mark?
I think that's clear.
And I hope I'm not an Uncle Tom. I have to ask Bill afterwards. Bill will tell me if I'm Uncle Tom.
I don't think you're Uncle Tom.
Bill?
I got lots of issues with you, Garland. That one's not
one. That ain't it.
Let's go to another caller.
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff, you got to turn the radio down or we can't hear you.
I got it.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Garland. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jeff.
Man, loving y'all show once again, man. This is my Saturday Night Live. Bill time with Bill Maher radio version.
There you go.
There, man. But seriously, though, that lady Mary kind of nailed it, man. She really gave all of the...
Mary was great.
Mary's awesome.
Yeah.
We always love what she calls.
All of the characteristics of a classic Uncle Tom, man, and those guys that she named. And I think, you know, to put it in, you know, descriptive terms for me, that Uncle Tom symbolizes someone who goes against their own best interest for short-term gain, and are in such denial about it, it's just pathetic, man. And I give you the perfect Uncle Tom, Uncle Ruckus on the Boondocks. He's a perfect Uncle Tom.
Okay.
In the sense that he's, like, ludicrously clinging to the typical white values, just to not to say that white values are wrong or black values are wrong. But what I mean is that he's clinging on
to racist values.
Yeah, he's clinging on to those things that would make him belong to something that he's not, so bad that he's in such denial about what's really best.
Thanks for your call, Jeff. I think that was a good point. I'll tell you something. About 7 years ago, I did a show right after Hurricane Katrina. It was a public forum. It was more than a show. We had hundreds of people show up. And the title of the show was, "What Has the Bush Administration Done for Black People?" And I purposely brought on the panel two black conservatives, mm-hmm. as well as two liberal, myself, another liberal, and what was fascinating is just the pain as they spoke. You could almost hear that they didn't quite trust what they were saying, and they were all apologetic,
yeah.
and or sort of. It's interesting. You don't hear the sort of forthrightness that you get from liberals or even from white conservatives.
Right.
It almost seemed like they knew that what they were. I mean, the audience obviously was not happy with them
right.
at all.
They were
well, he did.
This is the University of District of Columbia, UDC, yeah. and they didn't like that.
One more. We got one more caller.
Yeah.
Ken, welcome to WPFW, and I hate to shorten it. Ken's gone. We don't have time for Ken. Ken, sorry about that. We don't have time, but you'll be first. We'll put you in line first for next week. Mark, if somebody wants to get in touch with you.
Yeah, check out my website, marklevinetalk.com. You can find any of our old shows or any of my TV appearances. In fact, I'm going to be on TV tonight on Capital Insider. Channel 8, check it out. I think it's at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Well, you run out of time,
right now,
but it's 5:07.
It could be 8 o'clock. I don't remember,
okay.
but it's pre-taped.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe 7. Oh, good. It's pre-taped.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is garlandn@gmail.com. The N is for Nixon. I'm on Facebook at Garland Nixon. Twitter at Garland. It's great to have a name like
Facebook
Garland Nixon.
I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. Mark Levine Talk.
Yeah.
M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E-T-A-L.
Yeah.
Okay.
At Garland Nixon on Twitter. And we'll be back next week. Remember, garlandn@gmail.com. Ken, email me whatever your question is, we can chat.
Thank you, Bill Witherspoon.
Bill Witherspoon makes this happen. Next week we'll be in Fun Drive.
You're listening to WPFW, The Messenger.
Thanks for listening to the just completed public affairs or news program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.